Hello, everyone, and welcome to the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the show, I am joined by my buddy Mike Gallagher from Roto World to preview the upcoming NBA season. We go through every team in the Eastern Conference in this episode, and then in the next episode, we go through every team in the Western Conference. We pick a side of their Las Vegas over-under in terms of wins, and then Michael gets you ready to go, everything you need to know. Season-long fantasy, daily fantasy, betting on games, just knowing all of the teams. Just really, this is the number one way to get ready to bet, play fantasy, anything you need to get ready for the 2019-2020 NBA season. Of course, we are sponsored by RotoExperts.com, the best fantasy football projections and analysis in the industry. You can get 10% off of that using the promo code MATIC. You can get extra episodes of the show by subscribing to the TakeCast Patreon. We got NFL showdowns. Hopefully, some sort of NBA weekly show with Gallagher is going to be coming on that feed as well. And of course, if you want to support the show, please leave a rating and review on iTunes. It is extremely helpful. And now, let's go ahead and get into the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic, and it is my absolute pleasure to be joined by Michael Gallagher from Roto World. We used to do a weekly basketball podcast together, Mike, back in the old Fantasy Insiders days, but I thought, you know, with the NBA season coming up, who better to bring on the show than someone who lives it and breathes it to do conference previews? How are you doing, buddy?
I'm fantastic, man. Ready for the season to get going. We had our first preseason game yesterday and have just been reading everything the last like 4 or 5 days since Media Day started. There's so many beat writers nowadays that it's almost too much reading, but I'm pumped, man. I can't wait for the season to start. So many different changes, so many new challenges now for DFS with load management, although the NBA is going to put starting lineups out 30 minutes earlier, which Terry Stotts actually said that he's okay with, who's notoriously the guy that...
He's the worst. Literally no one is worse than Terry Stotts.
He's the guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm upset that he wanted to have it for, like, the meeting to discuss what they're going to do about lineups and stuff. And, so we'll see. But he said everyone's on a level playing field, so it sounds like they're going to really enforce this.
Yeah. So the idea is we are gonna do two of these podcasts and a little bring you behind the curtain. We are going to record them back to back. The episode you are listening to now is the Eastern Conference podcast. Then we will go back and do the Western Conference podcast. But we are just going to go through in alphabetical order all of the teams in the Eastern Conference. We are going to state their Westgate Sportsbook over-under total. I'm going to give a take on whether I like the over or the under. And then Mike is going to get you up to speed on everything you need to know about that team from a fantasy perspective, from a wins-loss perspective. Just gonna get you ready for the 2019 NBA season. So we start, Mike, with the Atlanta Hawks, who have what I thought was an absurd win total of 36. What do you think about that total?
I like it. They're going to be really good on offense. We really saw Trae Young and John Collins click, and then they were a solid team. They lost a lot on their bench. They're a little bit deeper now. They added a couple rookies in DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish, who's not quite all the way cleared yet. And Kevin Huerter is also banged up right now, has a knee issue, but he's hoping to play in the opener. So they have that. They drafted another guy in Bruno Fernando, who's a phenomenal shot blocker. They're having him shoot the ball more. He's actually worked a lot with the coaching staff. So, yeah, I think this team is going to be probably top 10-ish on offense. They are going to probably get murked on defense. But, you know, not a really too strong of a division down there. The Heat aren't as good. Obviously, the Hornets are going to probably drop a ton of games. So, Right. Yeah, I think they're going to do well in their division. The Wizards also. So, I think the weak division, if I had to bet it, I'd probably bet the over. I think they're going to compete for the 8 seed. And, again, this team's going to be so much fun. Trae Young's on hashtag muscle watch. And he was just so good down the stretch. Him and John Collins together, like I said. Like, Trae was about 25-12 per 36 in the last 30 games him and Collins played together. So DFS and season long, I really think Trae's in for a big season, despite how I was really down on him coming out of the draft last year.
Where are you at on DeAndre Hunter? A lot of people were conflicted about this pick, you know, thinking that he doesn't really fit with the other, like, he doesn't fit kind of the modern NBA version of a small forward or even, you know, even a stretch forward. Because I think their ideal lineup is probably John Collins at the five. Can DeAndre Hunter play power forward?
For sure. I feel more comfortable about Hunter as a four than I do as Collins as a five. Collins himself has admitted that he doesn't have a long wingspan, and actually one of his goals this offseason was to work on his versatility both offensively and defensively, because he's, you know, not the Mitchell Robinsons of the world with the massive wingspans and Goberts and et cetera. So, yeah, Hunter's big, man, and I didn't get to see too much of him. He didn't play too much in summer league, and I don't watch a lot of college because I watch all NBA. But he's a big dude, man. Like, he can guard fours for sure. So, you know, I think they're going to try, especially when they're trailing, you know, Collins at the five, him at the four, possibly Redditch and Herter and Trey Young. That's probably the line everyone wants to see, lineup everyone wants to see. But, yeah, I'm really excited for what this team could do. As far as the fantasy game for Hunter, I don't know. I've heard people tell me
that – seems like he's not going to be good for fantasy, yeah, probably.
I've heard people say that the Virginia system was kind of held him back a little bit. But he's got skills. And, again, the defense is really the key. And he's not going to have to score. Like, it's going to be Trey and John Collins doing the heavy lifting, especially Trey. Definitely a great fit, you know. But
I do think that if he, like, long term turns into a four, you know, this team does that. That's huge for them, because the reason why I like the under on 36 is this is a really bad defensive team. Trey Young, one of the worst defenders you're going to see at the point guard position. Herter, Redditch, and Crabb are all, you know, kind of whatever. Bembry, Parsons, and Carter are all really bad defensive wings. Collins is not a good defensive four. Jabari Parker is not a good defensive anything. I don't know if they have an above average defensive player on this roster.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. I mean, they're going to try to outscore you, you know. But Hunter's going to be good. They're calling him.
Yeah, he is.
A mini Kawhi. Alex Len called him at practice today. So we'll see. Yeah. Again, the schedule, I think, helps too. But yeah, this, and for DFS, like, I think we're going to be really attacking these games with the Hawks with how they want to play faster. Although everyone wants to play faster with a few exceptions. So, a team that if I had to probably rank top five teams I'm excited to watch, I'd probably put them in there. I really am looking forward to seeing how this all comes together.
All right, there we go. Our next team, the new look, Kyrie Irvingless Boston Celtics, have a win total of 49.5. I hated this line when it came out, because I think that is the exact right line for this team. You don't really want to take the under because of the respect for the organization, for Brad Stevens, but, you know, losing Kyrie Irving really matters. Like, Kemba Walker is not a like for like replacement for Kyrie Irving. Where are you at on 49.5 wins for Boston?
Well, if I would put, as far as like overall season output, you know, like total wins above replacement kind of a thing, like, Kyrie and Walker are probably a little similar, just because you feel a little bit more certain that Walker's going to give you 75 games, whereas Kyrie, up until last season when he was pretty healthy, Kyrie would miss 25 games like it was nothing. You know, kind of an injury.
Right, that's true. Kemba, yeah, just plays every game. Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah, he's a warrior.
Games, every game he's out there, it feels like. Does get the knee scopes every once in a while, but, yeah, he's awesome. But really, the thing with Kemba that's probably the most interesting is – he is the pick-and-roll point guard in the NBA. He's been top two in pick-and-roll possessions.
And Boston just doesn't do that.
Doesn't do that. Yeah, they run so many different sets, so many different kind of handoffs, and they don't run a lot of transition. They're very half-court and just lean on Stevens. So it's going to be a big adjustment there. You know, Cantor could be a decent role man, but they want to play him inside. They're going to play Tatum at the four. Tatum's also apparently grown a lot. He is going to, which we all love this as if we're Tatum guys. I know, shout-out to Evan Silva, is a big Tatum guy. Get to the line more. That's his big thing. Shoot more threes. We saw last year his shot quality fell off a cliff after.
He's saying the right stuff at media day. You know, basically saying, all I want to do, you know, I want to shoot layups and I want to shoot threes.
Yep. And they're saying he's not even thinking anymore and he's taking smarter shots. So really, that whole last offseason when it was like Kobe Bryant worked with him, and then we saw in the preseason last year all these whack fadeaways that just aren't, you know, the old positive EV play or whatever. I think he's going to take a step forward. They're going to play Jaylen Brown at the four more just because they kind of have a surplus of forwards. Obviously, Marcus Smart could either come off the bench. We know Brad Stevens will probably mix it up and play the matchups, which he's well known for. Gordon Hayward could play the three or the four. Semi Ojeleye also said that they may go four wing lineups and go with just a big man, whether that be Enes Kanter, Daniel Theis, or the Time Lord Robert Williams. And that's another, that's probably one another top five position battle to watch at center. We know Kanter can't defend. Robert Williams has the upside to be really a top 15-ish big man on the defensive end. Still really rough around the edges offensively, but you know, he dropped his foul rate a little bit as we went into last season. He's a monster. And then Daniel Theis is kind of just the middle ground, but obviously an improvement defensively. And then obviously the starting, like I said, Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, they're going to compete and probably be more matchup-based. Jaylen Brown's apparently handling the ball more. Also they have Carson Edwards, who was phenomenal in Vegas. They just got
I loved that dude. I thought that he was so good. Yeah.
So he looks like he's ready to go. Romeo Langford reworked his whole jumper. He shot, I think, 26% last year at Indiana. Big body guy, but it looks like Edwards, who was the second round pick or the later pick, compared to Romeo, who it looks like Edwards is a little bit, has the inside track there, and he's going to get minutes too.
Yeah, no, I think one other point I had to make about Boston is I actually low-key, I think that Enes Kanter is a really good fit on this team because of the addition of Kemba Walker, because he is a very good pick-and-roll center, actually probably one of the better pick-and-roll centers in terms of just knowing how to run it, setting the screens, and being able to score. So, like, I am all on board. I actually think this team – I think they might be more fun this year and maybe a little bit more enjoyable to watch this year than they were last year.
Yeah, I can see that. The center thing is insane. They have Taco Fall, and they have another cat, Vincent Poirier, sorry if I'm mispronouncing, but he's apparently going to get a shot as well. So they have five guys. We don't know who's going to start. Obviously, I think it's down to the three I mentioned with Williams, Theis, and Kanter. But, maybe if Kanter doesn't eat a lot of hamburgers on cheat day and he could stay out on the court. And also, too, Grant Williams, too. I can't let him go. Another guy who's really NBA-ready, really showed out in Vegas as well. So, yeah, I mean, this team is just insanely deep. And Brad Stevens, I'm sure he is going to be in the lab for hours at a time trying to come up with the optimal lineup decisions, which is going to be a lot more work for us DFS guys.
Yeah, and this actually, that's another great DFS point. This team loves to mix and match lineups. They change the rotations a lot. I think a huge thing to monitor early on for DFS is Gordon Hayward's minutes, how often he and Tatum are playing together outside of the starting lineup, how often they do weird stuff like play. I think that in some matchups, like Tatum could be a five, Hayward can be the four, and they can play Smart, Jaylen, and Kemba together in small lineups. So I think that will be pretty interesting. Moving on to our next team, a team shrouded in mystery with new additions, the Brooklyn Nets. Their over-under is 44. I would be inclined to take the under on that just because this is a very odd team at the moment without Kevin Durant, but looking like their starting lineup has a ton of offensive firepower. Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, Joe Harris. The issue is at big, it's probably going to be Taurean Prince and DeAndre Jordan to start the year. Rodion Kurucs might be suspended. Kevin Durant, obviously injured. Wilson Chandler suspended as well. Where are we at with the Nets, Mike?
So we're recording this Tuesday afternoon, and the first practice for the Nets today, they had a starting lineup of Kyrie, LeVert, Harris, Rodion Kurucs, and Jared Allen. So it looks like Allen will get the first shot. That was really
really hope so, because freaking DeAndre Jordan is just not good enough anymore.
Yeah, he really faded last year. Whether that was on him, it's hard to be motivated when you're pretty much on the trade block and they just let him go, let him go on the bench while they let Mitchell Robinson shine for the Knicks. But, yeah, I mean, they basically signed DeAndre Jordan just as a friend. It's like, I know Zach Lowe calls it like a salary cap circumnavigation kind of a thing.
Yeah, no, that was true. Like when he said that on the podcast, I was like, that's actually brilliant. It's true. Yeah. Like, they're paying DeAndre Jordan $10 million a year to, like, be their bench center.
Yep, and, like, he mentioned too the Antetokounmpo brothers possibly having a similar effect on Giannis when it comes time to pay him. I'm sure we'll get to that later, but yeah. So pretty much one thing that caught me over the weekend was they're willing to play Kyrie off the ball, and I think Caris LeVert is probably my Jeff Janis to you. I just love Caris LeVert so much. We saw him really dominate the first one dozen games, and then Atkinson said he was arguably the best player in the playoffs against the Sixers, and he said he's, quote, desperate to be great, and he said only a small percentage of players are like that. So it's full-on Caris LeVert hype season. I love him. Joe Harris obviously is phenomenal, led the league in three-point shooting last year. I mean, this team's going to shoot a lot of threes, and they are – Kenny Atkinson gets his guys open on threes. We mentioned the reverse. Kyrie didn't run a lot of pick and roll. The Nets also, I think D'Angelo was number two in pick and roll, so he's going to have to learn how to play off that. But he wants to play off ball, and Kyrie's always been – we saw him with LeBron. He is killer off the ball. He's just as good as really anybody in that role. So great fit. And Spencer Dinwiddie behind him was a little bad last year down the stretch. He was terrible at the rim. His percentage at the rim dropped, I want to say, like 13% compared to pre-break. Obviously, he was hurt. But, this team's got depth in the backcourt. You mentioned Taurean Prince. I think he's a phenomenal fit if he can guard smaller fours. But after that, they're real thin. A guy who I want to see step up and have a big preseason who is impressive in summer league is Nicholas Claxton, just super versatile big man, can really face up and find open guys and cutters and stuff from like 15, 16 feet out. So, probably that's my preseason guy I'm looking forward to watch on this squad.
Yeah, I love this team for DFS because they do a lot of resting. They switch the lineup up a lot, so that just always gives you good value guys. I remember playing Theo Pinson a couple times last year on DraftKings. So like I'm big on that. Do we think that that Kyrie is going to be on like a good load management schedule this year with them?
I think he should be. I mean, given they know they don't have Durant right now, I think they know they're realistic in their expectation that they're not going to really be a championship team given with where the Sixers are and where the Bucks are. So yeah, I probably wouldn't expect them to play in most back-to-back sets. And they may dial them down to, 30, 32 minutes at times. But yeah, he should still be really good. I'm looking forward to see. I don't think really Atkinson's much of a drop off from Brad Stevens as far as just getting guys in optimal positions. Brad Stevens was like the guy. I know I'm not to call out the names, but there was the whole big, would you rather start your franchise with Giannis?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a big thing. That was a huge thing.
Yeah, that was a swing and a miss, but props for the hot take since it's the take cast. But, I think he's gonna be fine. Like, I think if you're picking him in season long, like late second is fine. Point guards are really thin. Just as a quick aside, if you're doing season long, like get your point guards early.
Oh, so is that like is point guard like the running back of seasonal fantasy football?
Yeah, so like after Kemba goes, after I'm extremely high on Jrue Holiday, I'm really high on Trey. So once those guys go, it gets pretty dicey. I wouldn't put Kyrie in that tier, but yeah, you're gonna have to be chasing it if you don't come away with one of those guys, and obviously Harden, Steph, Dame in the first round. So after those guys come off the board, like you're gonna be chasing point guard in several spots.
Yeah. Okay. Our next team, this one will probably go pretty fast.
No, man, don't do that.
You're in on the Charlotte Hornets?
Oh, hell no. I'm way out, but there's a lot to talk about.
All right. So they have, I just got booted for a second. You got my audio? Booted.
We're good. Yeah.
Okay. We're still good. So the Charlotte Hornets have a win total of 23 at the Westgate Sportsbook. That is the worst of any team in the NBA. Their starting lineup is Terry Rozier, Nicholas Batum, probably Dwayne Bacon or MKG, Miles Bridges, and Cody Zeller. I probably wouldn't take the under on this team simply because it's like, it's hard for a team with this many vets to be bad, but where are you at with the Hornets?
Smash the under.
Smash the under. Okay.
Smash the under. It's probably one of my favorite bets. This team's going to be horrible. So we do have some clarity from Borrego. You can pretty much write in pen Terry Rozier, Miles Bridges, and Cody Zeller as starters. It sounds like, according to reporters, Bacon's locked in. So really the only position that's left is going to be Nick Batum versus Malik Monk. Malik Monk has been a disaster, really, for a guy that's going, like, the Donovan Mitchell comparisons, obviously. But
Not quite.
Yeah, not quite, right? But I'm just saying before we went in the draft. But, yeah, they've fully admitted they're going youth movement. So if Monk could actually play well in the preseason, he has to. But he's put on muscle. He's in better shape. He's multiple times admitted he's been out of shape during the season. So he didn't play in summer league to, quote-unquote, work on his body, which is weird. Like, why can't you do both? But, yeah, it's just rough. And they're going to really, really, really lean on Dwayne Bacon. I wouldn't be shocked if Dwayne Bacon leads the team in scoring. They're going to play him primary defender as well. So he has a ton of opportunity coming his way. So if you're not too familiar with him, we're probably going to be playing him a lot in DFS. And probably one of my favorite targets for fantasy for season long is Miles Bridges. We saw him really come on down the stretch. Bridges really talked up his ball handling. I expect him to block the ball a little bit. He's going to play a lot of both posts, a lot of switching. Handle the ball. He's hoping to shoot 38% from three. So just a big, big upside for a guy that I'm trying to get in every single draft.
Yeah. Where do you stand on Terry Rozier? Like so I'm assuming that he's going to be a guy on like most nights on DK, you know, he's going to be in between like 5,500 and 6,800 kind of depending on the matchup. Like, yeah. Do you think they're going to play him like heavy minutes?
Yes. Brega's already said it's going to be 34 minutes per game, but he will manage it in back-to-backs. I think they have 12. So just a heads up on that front. May not want to play him in a back-to-back set, or if he plays light one night, he may go heavy the next night. So just keep that in mind. But my favorite stat on this is Kemba, you know, Mr. Clutch Time guy. He had about a 45 usage rate in the clutch last year. Want to guess how low Terry Rozier's was?
It's got to be insanely low.
6%.
Yeah, not great. So,
yeah, and nobody else on the current Hornets team is higher than 16.8%, I think, is Malik Monk. So this team's going to have some – they're not going to play in the clutch much because they're so bad, but just finding shot makers is going to be a really tall order, which is why they expect so much out of Bacon. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist basically said the other day that the only reason why he took the money was to take the money. Like, he's not happy. He sounds like he's not going to even play at all. So I think PJ Washington might even beat him out. Had a foot injury, he's been hurt, but now he's getting healthy now too. So
MKG seems like maybe like a buyout guy. Like, yeah, like he makes so much more sense on a good team than a bad team.
Yeah, there's no reason for him to be there. I've said before that I think they purposefully signed Rozier to a big deal to basically give themselves no outs and just like, oh, this is our team, we can't even make free agency plays. Like,
they're not even gonna go out to, makes like, sense, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, fill out your cap, kind of be near the salary cap floor and just be terrible. Just,
yeah, you have excuses to everyone. Yeah.
Like, I honestly, if the line was like 19 games, I'd probably still take the under, man.
Like, this seems to be all right, you talked me into it. Some of these, I'm not going to bet all of these, but I love to sweat NBA over-unders. And one of the big things is, like, what do you think a team's going to do towards the end when, you know, Walt Lemon Jr. is playing a bunch of games? And I certainly can't see Charlotte trying super hard in those games, basically. So I am in on the under. Moving on to – I actually think this next team is fascinating. The Chicago Bulls, a current total at the Westgate Sportsbook of 33.5. They have so many guards. They are setting. They're just going to try and set an NBA record for guards who are going to get minutes. Where are you at on the Bulls 33.5?
I am leaning a little bit on the under here, and it's a little bit because they're banged up. I thought it would be close, but they've had a real rough couple of days. They just had Daniel Gafford just had a hyperextended elbow. There's concern that it's similar to what Lauri Markkanen had last year. Wendell Carter Jr.'s hurt again, sprained his ankle. It's odd. He did an interview with the team saying that, like, oh, I never got hurt dating back to when I was like 10 or 11 and broke my foot. So from like 11 to 19, he never really got hurt. Then I had the thumb thing, core muscle injury surgery, and then now he sprained his ankle again. So it's just really odd. Like, I don't get it why he's being so hurt so much. But I like him anyways. This is an aside. Luke Kornet's got the turf toe. So they're going to have to play Lauri Markkanen at the five a lot, and that's really been talked up. So possibly Thaddeus Young could be – perhaps more valuable than anticipated. These guys can't get on the floor. Chandler Hutchinson's hurt. He pulled his hamstring. Sounds like he's not going to play in the season opener. So, yeah, they're real thin there.
Wow. So it seems like their front court to start the year is going to be Felicio, Young, well, we don't know Markkanen, how,
they're saying it's minor on Carter, so he's probably going to be okay.
Okay.
Just the fact that he's had three injuries really all of a sudden, you just hate to see it, you know? So I'm a little nervous there, but I think Satoransky's a good pickup. Probably one of the bigger position battles is going to be Dunn versus Satoransky, and then Coby White sounds like he has no shot at starting right now.
Yeah, not. I mean, Jim Boylan is like big time old school coach, right? Like he's not trying to play a rookie point guard at all.
Nah, for sure. Yeah, so and there are even reports that he may not get rotation minutes out of the gate. We saw Boylan say over Summer League that his first option is going to be Chris Dunn, who apparently every report that I've read is saying the Bulls are raving about Chris Dunn. Now, keep in mind, they probably want to trade him, so that's I'm sure it's by design. Don't look.
They're not going to be bad mouthing him out there.
Like, oh, he's trash. We got to trade him. Like that's just poorly played if you're front office. So. But, yeah, Zach LaVine wants to play 82 games. Lauri Markkanen as well has some back injuries that kind of scares me for season long. But, yeah, I just don't know, man. I just don't trust Boylan. I don't trust the health of Zach LaVine. I don't trust the health of Otto Porter, who's been hurt all the time with upper leg injuries. Guy misses a lot of games as good as he is. So I think I'm probably leaning under just because I don't trust the durability of this roster.
Yeah, I think that that's fine. I see a little bit of upside in a couple ways. One, Markkanen and Carter, you know, just getting a little bit better, basically. Those are both young guys who I think have some room to improve. I think LaVine – I'm like kind of a Zach LaVine stan. I know that like a lot of analytics guys really don't like him, but I think that there is just something into – you know, just in the ability to get buckets. And Zach LaVine is a bucket getter, kind of in like a Kyrie Irving sort of way, though he takes much less efficient shots. Do you like LaVine?
Well, he actually, last year he turned it around. His shots at the rim percentage went way up last year.
Way up, yeah.
Yeah, so he was taking much better shots overall. I'm not exactly sure why, but not as much dribbling balls out and, you know, more of a 1-2 dribble drive kind of a guy, usually won a lot. But, yeah, he's really improved, you know, solid three-point shooter guy. So, again, I think he's going to have probably close to 25 points per game this year. It's just a matter of staying on the court and really doing other stuff for fantasy.
That would be a dude I am super interested in seasonal fantasy. Like, that's just a guy I want to sweat. And he doesn't rest unless he's hurt.
Yeah, well, he's hurt a lot, though.
He is hurt. I mean, the dude's made out of paper.
Right, yeah. He just, the way he plays and his body style, like, he's super, super skinny and got long legs and not much meat on him. Like, he's just putting himself at risk.
Yeah,
obviously, like, behind him, too, like, Denzel Valentine can't stay on the floor. All these dudes are just, I mean, Chris Dunn's had a lot of injury history as well while he's still on the roster.
It's true. I'm taking the over on 33.5, though.
I wouldn't bet it. Like, if I had to pick ones I don't like, this would probably be in the bottom five.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. So moving from a team that I think has some intriguing young talent, we now move to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have the second worst total, 24.5. Where are you at on this team with unlimited young point guards?
Under again. They're basically Charlotte West. They have Darius Garland, who's hurt right now.
Who's hurt practicing. And hasn't played since high school.
Yeah, didn't. Yeah, he played about 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, at Vanderbilt.
Yep. And foot injury now. Had the ACL last year. Hate it, man. I was really high on Garland coming out. I'm really just going on pretty much what I read and saw. But super talented dude, real nice jumper. Kind of gets the Dame comparisons, but I hate seeing him on the sideline for a team that's going to be shooting for a high lottery pick again. Like, they're going to be careful with him. So a guy who I wanted to take around 100 in season long, now, like, I can't even do it. So you have to let him slide. Colin Sexton, vastly improved. I did this kind of deep dive thing about a month ago looking at shot quality comparisons, and he ditched the mid-range. He was one of the highest guys for mid-range percentage of shots taken. He dropped that down big time, got to the rim a lot more, made a lot more at the rim, just really turned his game around. Fantasy-wise, it kind of sucks because it doesn't do anything besides score. But apparently this new offense with Beilein, the former Wolverines coach, is going to be really open and spread out, so more opportunities for the guards. Kevin Love's already going to get load managed. It may be over multiple games at a time. Like, they're going to keep him on the bench. He's on the trade block, reportedly. They're also going to try to play Larry Nance at the 3 from the sounds of it. That may just be coach speak BS. And then Dylan Windler's banged up too, another guy who lit up Summer League. Reportedly, Kevin Porter Jr. has also been getting roasted on defense from, like, Jordan Clarkson.
Shocking.
Yeah, right. So a lot of negatives here. keep an eye on John Henson. He practiced for the first time since I think November, he said, of last year. He's been hurt, so maybe super sneaky if they do opt to sit like Tristan Thompson. And we know Ante Zizic isn't really a guy that's going to be even a strong number two. He's got so many defensive holes.
Do you think that what would you handicap the odds that Kevin Love gets traded this year at?
It's going to be tough. I'd probably say 60-40 he gets traded. Like, it's a lot of money to take on.
It's a lot of money. Yeah, that's the thing. Hurt. It's a ton of money.
Yeah, like, for as frequently as he's hurt with, you know, a lot of hand injuries, he's had bad back injuries, he's had muscle pulls, he's just had so many different things to keep him off the floor, and we've known this for almost a whole decade that Love can't stay on the floor. Now that he's older, like, I just don't see how they play him more than 45 games. They're just going to rest him all day. Like, much like the Hornets, like, they know they're headed to the lottery, so there's really no reason to, you know, get him in there. They have Larry Nance as capable backup. They want to play Jetty Osman at the four a little bit. They would have liked to have seen Windler next to Osman as a 3-4 combo. So, yeah, it's just ugly, man. This team's going to play – supposed to play a lot faster. They played really slow last year. Their defense was – we picked on their defense all season.
All season, yeah. DFS, I mean, any game you thought that they weren't going to be playing, like, the super backups at the end, like you were playing dudes against the Cavs.
Yeah, exactly. So they won't be much better there either. So, again, I don't see them winning 22 games or – what do you say? It was 26?
They are 24.5. I think they are one of the safer unders because I think they are – they're not going to add anyone good. And in fact, they might actively make their roster worse during the year.
On purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. The only way I could see losing this is if Love just has some sort of insane year. That's really the only way I could see it.
Which he won't. He's going to get sat. Like, I don't think they're going to play him 32 minutes. So, like, what are they going to do when those 16 minutes or whatever? I don't think he may not even play 28 minutes.
Right.
I just don't see any reason why he should be out there almost even at all.
Yeah. So our I think we both lean the under there. Not going to be a great team for DFS, I would assume, or season-long fantasy, just because it's hard for good teams with a lot of young guys to do that. The next team, the Detroit Pistons, I swear their total has been 38 for like the last decade. I think it's just 38, 38 and a half, 39. Kind of an interesting situation here, though. The team signed Derrick Rose to, I think, compete for backcourt minutes with Reggie Jackson and to replace Ish Smith. They have Bruce Brown, Luke Kennard, Tony Snell. They traded for Svi Mykhailiuk over the offseason. Blake Griffin is already missing practice time, and Andre Drummond, of course, is the center. Do you think that Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond end the season on the Pistons roster?
I do. Drummond, I would say pretty confidently yes. Blake, I just don't see how they could – I just don't see how there's a market for him.
Right, like they think they're going to make – a guy making too much money.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they knew the back end of that contract is going to be rough. So, it's kind of like, you know, Chris Paul, but for power forwards. So, yeah, I mean – what was the over-under on this one? You said 38. Yeah, I probably would. That's another tough one I wouldn't want to bet just because of the East and everything. But, yeah, just quickly on player notes, like, Drummond's apparently been balling. They want him to handle the ball more, which is
– Drummond was actually great last year. Like, he was actually a guy that you enjoyed owning in DFS a lot of the time last year.
Oh, he was insane. Yeah, and season-long, he was number two in 9-cat, even with his crappy free throw shooting.
Yeah, like that. Like he's really good, and he has become like he's a guy who's actually become a better player.
Yeah, he's solid, man. He can switch a lot better on defense, and they abandoned the 3-point project which went for like a day. So yeah, he's just back to the old post up, but he'll pass more out of the post. We've seen him really increase his playmaking over the past couple seasons. He's quote unquote running like a deer. They're ready to play in more minutes, it sounds like. So yeah, I think Drummond's gonna have a huge year. We obviously know he's gonna be almost a lock to lead the league in rebounding. But yeah, like him, I hate Blake. I'll never draft Blake anymore. Already talk of him getting load managed. Dwayne Casey said he's not in the best shape right now after compared to last year. Obviously had the surgery to end the season after the little playoff run. And then Luke Kennard, I don't know. He's hurt now. They say he has tendonitis in his knee, which is not good, obviously. Sounds like he's coming off the bench. I know Zach Lowe had written him as one of the most intriguing guys. I just don't see it. I'm not a big Kennard guy. And then summer league wise,
guys like that just are not good in the NBA anymore. They just don't fit. They got to shoot like 45% from three.
Yeah, like they're gonna try to make him like a JJ Redick, and he just doesn't have really anything, like just the wherewithal, whatever you want to call it. But Bruce Brown actually had a killer summer league. They played him at the point guard spot. He had a triple-double. First player to do that since Lonzo at Vegas. So curious to see how he fits. You mentioned Derrick Rose. He's going to come off the bench, but he may close possibly in Brown's spot, possibly in Tony Snell's spot, who's going to start, it sounds like. And then they'll mix in Markieff Morris and Thon Maker. And then they signed Joe Johnson as well. So apparently it's going to come down to Joe Johnson making the roster or Christian Wood, who – another guy, last eight games of the season, he balled out.
Oh, yeah, he was like the DFS nuts when he was starting for the Pelicans. He was awesome.
Yeah, so he may not have a roster spot, which is unfortunate. Like, I would love to see him out there. They may play, if he can make the team, they said they may play him at the four a little bit, but obviously it'd be a little tough to beat out Markieff Morris from minutes, who's, you know, pretty solid guy. But he's had injury history as well. So, yeah, just kind of a solid roster, but – you know, they'll be competing for the eighth seed. Obviously, this team doesn't really have championship aspirations. But, yeah, we'll see if they keep Reggie Jackson around. And then if not, maybe Bruce Brown could get a little bit of momentum.
Yeah, well, there we go. I like to hear that. Our next team has – this total shocked me, but it is the Indiana Pacers at 47.5. That feels crazy high.
Yeah, it's high. Malcolm Brogdon, as great as he was, he's 50-40-90. He was, I think, fourth on the team in touch time with the Bucks last year. We all obviously Giannis and Middleton and Bledsoe were all handling the ball more. So he's just an off the ball catch and shoot guy. So they are really trying to get him incorporated to run the offense more. Obviously Depot's out. They're hoping he can come back in, sounds like December, maybe best case scenario, like mid November, which would be pretty rare for a serious knee injury that he had. But, yeah, this team looks way, way different. And with all these new parts, like, they're going to take some time to develop and really get the team chemistry together. They are, it sounds like, for sure going to start Domantas Sabonis next to Miles Turner, which was a pretty productive lineup after the break last year. I think they were, like, plus 4 or 5 net rating when it was not working at all for the first, like, 2 months of the season. So that should be pretty good. I expect Sabonis to handle the ball a lot. There's a lot of talk of making Miles Turner almost a straight stretch five. They will use him in some screen and role plays and stuff. But, yeah, I think Sabonis will be kind of a low-key Jokic kind of a guy with impacting assists. They're going to obviously stagger him. But
How high are you on him as – like, do you think that he and Turner can long-term, like, play together? Do you think that can work?
I don't. I just feel like in today's NBA, investing that much money in two guys – I mean, sure, Sabonis is going to play the four, but he's a five. You know,
he's a five. Yeah. No, yeah. I totally agree. He is a five. And kind of oddly, I think TJ Warren is more of a four.
Yeah, they played him almost straight four in Phoenix. I think he can definitely fit in the role of being a straight three man, especially with Oladipo out. They're going to probably want to play him in those minutes as much as possible. Maybe probably try to get TJ Leaf in there, McDermott and Holiday. But they're just, I don't know. I think they're way overpriced on Vegas, especially with the Oladipo factor. I think Aaron Holiday could be sneaky as far as getting, you know, solid minutes. They added his
brother. He was another guy towards the end of last year for DFS who just was getting a ton of run.
Yeah. And I'm just – Malcolm Brogdon, he misses time for a lot of things. Had the heel injury last year. They're also going to try to slow down the offense to suit him better. Like, it just feels like a lot of stuff. I just feel like they could really start slow. And, you know, if they start out even – 3-7 or something like that, like you're gonna have to really chase that to come around. But just quickly, Jeremy Lamb's probably a really safe fantasy pick if you wanted to draft him. He had a phenomenal year last season. So
yeah, and I mean I think he could lead this team in like backcourt usage because like Brogdon is like better off the ball than on the ball.
I think so. Yeah, if Sabonis does look to pass more, yeah, I think that's not a hot take at all. Like, Lamb's not a real hit. I think he was like 17, 18 usage, but that's going next to Kemba, who's like in the 30s.
Who's like in the 30s. Yeah, yeah. I think Jeremy Lamb is kind of one of those dudes who's just a little underrated.
Yeah, he for sure. He really came on last year. He had the defensive stats a little bit too. So
I mean, he was like he was their second best player as they were fighting for the playoffs.
Yeah, over the whole season. Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah. All right. So our next team, Miami. This is a team I would just be terrified to ever bet the under. So I like the over on 44.5 starting backcourt of basically Goran Dragic and Jimmy Butler. Do you think they'll play Butler at the three or the four more, or the three or the two more often?
I think probably the three. Dion Waiters is doing yoga. He is neglecting his mom, his wife, and his kids to get in shape, so props. But I think he hears those Tyler Hero footsteps right behind him, so he's in shape. Tyler Hero has been just getting rave reviews all over the place.
Dude, he looks so good. I think he's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, I like probably posted like 30 videos of him in Summer League. But Jimmy Butler, Mr. Work Ethic guy, he was even saying like, man, Tyler Hero's work ethic is no joke. So, and this guy, he's not just a shooter, man. He has a little Devin Booker to him, can create on his own. But I'm interested to see how that fits. So they're not really too weak there. We know that Goran Dragic is going to start. Pat Riley had joked that they were going to fine Justice Winslow $50K for saying that he wanted to start. But Winslow's fine. He'll play all over the place. Going to have a tough time keeping Dragic healthy. 34. Multiple knee issues last year, obviously, was really the worst season ever health-wise. And then, of course, on the back burner, they're going to always be the Chris Paul trade rumors that are going down. And I would be remiss to say that I love Bam Adebayo perhaps more than anybody else in fantasy. Like, he's on my Mount Rushmore fantasy targets.
So the thing that's going to suck, though, is he used to be so awesome for DFS because every time he started, his price would be, like, 4,800 or maybe if he'd started a couple games in a row, it'd be 6,100 on DraftKings. But now Whiteside is gone. But I mean, I could legit see Bam getting to be like 8K on DraftKings because he is so good. And if they give him extended run, it's not like they have a ton of big guys on this team. It's really just like the always injured Olenek and Myers Leonard in terms of like centers.
Yep. You mentioned Olenek. He's got a knee issue back from Team Canada. Sounds like he's going to be maybe questionable for the start of the season. Sounds like he's going to play, but may also start. Also news today on Tuesday, James Johnson got basically sent home from camp because he didn't pass conditioning tests. So possibly keep an eye out on Derek Jones Jr. Eric Spoelstra said he wanted to build what he called a speed lineup. So that may have probably mean Derek Jones Jr. at the four. I love Derek Jones Jr. I've been big on him really since the G League days and the dunk contest days. He got shortchanged in the dunk contest, by the way. But, this team's going to be good. Jimmy Butler, if he stays on the court, will be, solid, probably all NBA in the mix. I just don't think the NBA world knows how good Bam Adebayo is going to be. Like, this guy is going to be one of the best pick-and-roll defenders in the NBA. His offense, we saw his assists go up late last year. I think he had, like, three assists and change after the break in limited minutes. So, another guy who's probably got four assists on, with efficient numbers, like maybe even close to 1.7, 1.8 blocks on good foul shooting. Like, Bam's just such a sexy guy for fantasy, like very much.
Yeah, he is a crusher, no doubt. Yeah.
So I'm excited to see this team. Jimmy Butler also, by the way, his clutch time usage rate last year dropped to 25% with the Sixers, down from, I think, 42 or something like that with the Wolves. So that's going to come back up too. So we'll see a little more crunch time Jimmy, which did come back in the playoffs a little bit. But in the regular season, he did kind of take a backseat, obviously, with Ben Simmons and Embiid there. With Embiid being the number one guy, like he's going to go back to being the main man. So massive lines coming for Jimmy Butler. Has to stay on the court. We'll probably get a couple load management games in there, getting up there in age. And again, thank Tom Thibodeau for this one because it's coming back to bite him like a bit Lou Aldang, who couldn't stay on the court after getting 40 minutes night in, night out.
Right. Okay, our next one. This is I think, one of the hardest totals to decide on. The Milwaukee Bucks, 58 wins. I think you just take the under on something like this just because it's like 58 wins is just hard. It's just very hard to win that many games, but that means betting against Giannis, and no one wants to be in that position.
Yeah, if I had to bet it, I wouldn't do it. Like, this is another one of those top 5 or 10 things I don't want to bet. I'd probably bet the over, man. Like, this team's so good. They don't have any really holes on their whole roster. I know that losing Malcolm Brogdon could be rough, but we saw George Hill finally get healthy and really fill minutes. He outplayed Eric Bledsoe kind of down the stretch when their season was about to end. We'll see what happens with him. We saw Pat Connaughton really play well down the stretch. Dante DiVincenzo was finally healthy, another guy who could step into some minutes. Eric Bledsoe didn't really play well in spots, but he's gonna have a higher use. He's had a higher usage rate without Brogdon on the floor while with Giannis, so more opportunity for him. Brooke Lopez was just such a tailor-made fit to this team. They got his brother, which is gonna be as an off the court thing. The Lopez brothers are gonna be hilarious. Like, I think it's underrated.
I love that they're both on the team. I think that's so cool.
Yeah. They called it, I think Robin called them addition and subtraction to the team. It's just like, I love those guys, man. Like, Robin fighting with mascots is one of my favorite things on the interwebs. And yeah, I mean, just deep. Giannis said he's at about 60% of his peak. So we could see Giannis take a step forward. And I don't think Wesley Matthews is a bad pick, just a catch and shoot guy. Defend a little bit, not a little bit longer in the tooth now, but just a solid team with a massive superstar on the roster, MVP obviously. They're going to manage minutes. So we saw Middleton's minutes come down, Bledsoe's minutes comes down just because they blew everybody out. And I think they're going to do it again. They're going to have a good season.
How many minutes do you think Thanasis Antetokounmpo plays?
I think he's just there for fun. Like, he's like we said earlier, the DeAndre Jordan almost.
Yeah, it would be crazy to me if he like somehow became like any kind of rotation player. Like, it would just be wild.
Yeah. Well, maybe when they rest Giannis, they sub him in.
Yeah. Maybe, so they always have at least one of them on the floor at all times. I think you're right.
Enter to quota.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty in on that. I agree with you. This is just going to be a fun team overall. Like, and I think they have a pretty reasonable chance of hitting their under. A team that I think is going to make us sick picking an over under, the New York Knickerbockers with a win total of 27.5. No superstars, all the power forwards. Where are we at with the Knicks?
Under. I love Mitchell Robinson. I think he had like 27 block threes, which is by far the most in the NBA. The guy is just insane. Julius Randle was talking at his presser the other day, like how he's just everywhere. So Mitchell Robinson's going to be a whole lot of fun. He will probably get his 27, 28 minutes per game. Fantasy-wise, I'm kind of scared to draft him. He had that little knee thing that limited him. Guy that's that long, that active, like, he is really putting himself in harm's way. So I like him, just a little bit risky. There's other guys I'd probably rather take, like, I actually like Bam more, which is somewhat of a hot take for fantasy. But yeah, you mentioned the power forwards, like, they got way too many of them. So Randle should be really busy. He's going to have some monster stat lines. And then Bobby Portis dropped some weight. I think he's at 14 pounds. He's in the hashtag best shape of his life now. Kevin Knox was horrendous. He was one of the worst players ever for decent volume and inefficiency. Like, his true shooting was just a disaster. And then RJ Barrett should be good to go. Doesn't have a guaranteed starting job, but would be pretty much stunning if he doesn't get in there. And then another position battle. Dennis Smith Jr., Elfrid Payton, and Frank Ntilikina in his reworked jump shot, which was a big story last week. So, a lot of things to watch here. I think they're going to be terrible. This team doesn't have anybody who I trust offensively. Julius Randle, if he could maybe magically hit free throws more, maybe his improved shooting over the offseason helps him there. But this team's offense is going to be rough. As much as Mitchell Robinson will save them defensively on massive amounts of possessions, I just see them being in the bottom three or four for offense.
Yeah, I don't understand how a composition of these offensive players is expected to be good. And I think RJ Barrett might end up being okay, but I think things are going to be very brutal for him as a rookie, because he's going to have to share the ball with a lot of other dudes, and he's going to have no space.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. I mean, Julius is going to shoot the three a little bit, but he's by no means he's almost like Draymond, I guess. Or like if he's open, he'll shoot it and maybe he makes it, but he's not a guy who's going to come off screens and hit threes or anything like that. So yeah, it's going to be, they're going to get blown out a whole lot. I would like to see Dennis Smith Jr. improve, a guy who I was really high on. Hasn't really clicked yet, but another guy who reworked his jumper apparently looks a lot better, which makes sense. For as explosive as he is, I just want to see Dennis Smith Jr. win this job and get going. Still pretty young, so maybe he gets going.
This will be, for DFS, this is going to be very interesting what they do when guys miss time. So, like, you know, when Randall gets a night off or Taj gets a night off or whoever, because I'm assuming that whoever is not playing or whoever is playing when other dudes rest, they're going to get, you know, I think pretty sizable minutes. So that's just going to be a good spot to watch for. And I think, like, for example, like Bobby Portis, when Randall doesn't play, like that's going to be a guy whose usage is just going to go like way, like massively up.
Yep. Porter City can play both the four and the five. Julius Randle did say the buzzwords load management in his little presser yesterday. So yeah. Again, when he sits, there will be a lot of usage to go around.
Yeah. All right. Our next team, the Orlando Magic, a kind of a high total, 42.5. I guess they were a playoff team last year, but I look at this team and I say, I guess DJ Augustin is the point guard. First of all, where are you at on Fultz? Have you heard anything? Does the team think he's going to be active? Where are we at with the Magic backcourt?
Yeah, so up until Friday, it was Shadyville. Like, we didn't know anything. There was no timetable. That's all they would say. It's like, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. He's doing on court. We'd see some videos come up. Then all of a sudden, Friday, like, oh, he's clear, let's go. So, sounds like he's ready to go. He's hoping to play on, I believe, Saturday against the Spurs, which should be fun against DeJounte Murray. Two guys kind of coming off injury. We'll get to that. But yeah, it sounds like he's ready to go. Jonathan Isaac talked him up at camp today. A lot of people are saying positive things with his offense. From what I've seen, he was never really bad, like off the dribble, but just for whatever reason, like his set shot's trash. And everything I saw from this little hype videos they've been putting out in Orlando, I don't really see much of an improvement. So it's definitely mental for whatever they can get him fixed. We saw the whole Drew Hanlon thing didn't work out when they reworked his jumper from the ground up, so they're kind of doing that again. Just one of the most odd stories you'll really ever see for a guy as talented as he was coming out of college. But, yeah, it sounds like he's going to play. Also talk of playing Michael Carter-Williams at the two at times to possibly free up minutes there. So, as much as we
bash, how is that going to work?
Yeah, I don't know. Especially with Terrence Ross there, like, and they're going to want to keep Aaron Gordon on the floor, and they like Wes Alendu, but I don't know. But like I was saying, like as bad as Michael Carter Williams kind of is as an NBA Twitter phenomenon, he was actually pretty good for them down the stretch. Gave them some really solid minutes in the early fourth quarters and stuff. But yeah, it's just I just can't wait to see Fultz play. Just quickly on fantasy, I'm not buying that. I'm letting someone else draft him.
Yeah. What about Vooch is like, where does he go in seasonal drafts? I feel like he's just got to be like, he's got to be like the Phil Rivers of seasonal NBA. Like that dude just gives you what you draft every single year.
He's been better. Well, last year he was one of the best value picks because everyone, myself included, thought they were going to trade him at the deadline, but the Magic were decent. Mo Bamba got hurt and there you have it. So he was a guy who was going, I want to say like 55-60, and he turned in first round value last year. Now he's going second round, and that's where he should go. You know, this guy's, like you said, very much a known quantity in fantasy. He does have a kind of little bit of a freak injury history, hand injuries and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, this guy, just take him and just live with it. They're going to run offense through him, supposed to shoot the three more. He's improved his three-point shooting in each of the last three seasons. And, yeah, he'll have less defensive pressure on him. With Jonathan Isaac, if I could just swing it into him. So Jonathan Isaac has probably been one of the most hyped up players that I've read about really all summer. Terrence Ross had a great quote. He said that he is a draft that moves around like a lion. So I love quotes like that. But yeah, I mean, if you saw him at Team USA, like he made Jason Tatum, the whole like Jason Tatum's like 5 years old stuff that's on Twitter, like he made Jason Tatum look like a 5 year old. He's just a monster human. He gained like they're saying 30 pounds. And he's still just as fast. So I think Isaac's going to have a huge season. A guy that blocks shots, steals, He does have a little bit of a face-up game, which I think will be a little bit better than advertised. And he can shoot the three a little bit, so he'll be out there spacing the floor, guarding a lot of fours, playing kind of the three-ish position on offense. Aaron Gordon also wants to post up more, so Gordon will kind of be a functional four on the offense. And Jonathan Isaac was, I think, only 0.7 roll man possessions per game last year, so look for that to increase as he really – we just see how wide his offensive arsenal could get on top of what I think is going to be just phenomenal defensive statistics.
All right, there we go. That is the Orlando Magic. All right, we are getting to the team that I think is the most interesting team in the Eastern Conference. The process, the Philadelphia 76ers, a total of 55. They added Al Horford to this team. They added Josh Richardson to this team. They lost Jimmy Butler from this team. No, that's true. Losing JJ Redick, massive to this team.
Yeah.
Where is the shooting coming from? Where is this team going to get the spacing?
Josh Richardson. He said in Zach Lowe's podcast that his number one thing is to be a shot maker. He was good as a catch and shoot guy. He had kind of a down year last year, and I think he still shot 44% on catch and shoot threes. We saw up until last year, he was one of the best catch and shoot guys when he's open. Last year, he did kind of fall off because they really asked him to handle the ball a whole lot, even more than I thought, which I thought was going to be pretty high. But yeah, he's a huge role player. Like getting him back in that Butler deal is a big piece of this. He's going to be the primary defender on a lot of ball handlers. He's going to guard the backup point guard, they were saying, so they may try to stagger him a little bit, possibly get some ball handling minutes when Ben's on the bench. So I thought that was kind of an interesting quote we saw today or yesterday. I don't even know anymore. But, I thought that was a big addition. And this team's just huge, dude. Like, Tobias Harris.
They are massive. They are going to be so good defensively.
Yeah. Like, besides, like even Zach Lowe said on his podcast, like, they have – legit four guys who could make the all defensive team, man. Like everybody but Tobias, like that whole starting five has a shot to be all defense. So first or second team, whatever it is, like you said, this team, if they're not top two or three in defense, like Embiid got hurt pretty much.
If they're not top two or three in defense, they're going to be in big trouble. Cause I do think this team is going to struggle some on offense.
Yeah, a little bit, but they have Embiid though. And Embiid really talked a lot about, not posting up as much. He wants to play more face up, shoot threes if he has to, but he wants to beat guys off the dribble. Said he worked on his handling and just distribution of the basketball to find open guys. So yeah, Embiid per game is going to be insane. So it's just a matter of how often they sit him. Said he wants to play in 70 games. They're going to try to dial his minutes back. It sounds like to more like 30 per game. So that's going to be kind of rough for those nights when Embiid's like 11K. And, he may only be on track to play 28 minutes. Plus, if it's a blowout, like, he may not get those last 6-7 minutes, so he may bust a lot. But
that's going to be huge. Like, those extra minutes are big. Like, do you think that they are going to communicate that? Like, do you think that's going to be a spot where they're going to be like, okay, he's been playing a little bit too much. We need to walk him back right now?
I think they're not going to say it point blank, but I think that it should be pretty clear to spot it.
Yeah.
Like, we know back-to-backs, he's probably going to sit. I think they play in 13 of them. So he's probably not going to play in most, if not all, of those. Obviously, one half of them, whether it be the front or back end. And then one other quick note. The back end of their schedule the last month, they play some horrible teams. They play the Hornets twice, the Wizards twice. Phoenix, I think, comes to town. There's, like, 7 or 8 games in the last 30 days that are, like, all non-playoff teams. So that's just kind of a heads up for – I'm not drafting Embiid in season long. I love Embiid. He's probably maybe my favorite player to watch and to listen to. And the Go Pack Go stuff was legendary, but yeah, just careful on that one. And then obviously the other big story here is Ben Simmons' jumper is around. A guy who I think he's 0 of 19 on three-pointers, both in the preseason, regular season, and in the postseason. Has no threes made on almost 20 attempts. But we've seen the videos. They're going to try to get him corner threes. He's going to take them, quote, when they're available. But I don't know if I buy that, man. I mean, this guy can't shoot. We obviously seen the free throws never really click for him either. So we'll see. That's obviously one of the top things to watch for storylines. Just quickly on fantasy, I love drafting Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris.
It seems like they would be the biggest values.
Yeah, like they slide. I think Embiid's going to get – especially if he's only going to play 30 minutes – you're leaving 18 minutes on the court for those guys to get more shots. Horford's going to get managed as well. So, yeah, there's a little bit of upside to go with two guys who are super safe, especially Tobias. Like, Tobias is 80 games, feels like every year. And another guy, just quickly on Tobias, like, no matter – this is weird, right? Playing next to Horford, playing next to Embiid, all this size. Like, this guy, if you trade him, he picks up the offense in day one, like, automatically hits the ground running. So, I think it's going to be big. I like the over on this team. I think I feel more confident about this than I do about the Bucks, but it's close, though. It's just, this team's going to be so good defensively.
Yeah, I think all of that. I think do you have like a feel on if any of these young guys, Matthias Thybulle, Zaire Smith, do you think either of those guys kind of establishes them? Like, do you think either end up good enough to play?
I think Zaire's got the edge. He's up to 207 pounds, put a little bit of muscle on. We saw he had that really weird illness that couldn't even keep.
Yeah, what, he was like allergic to peanuts and didn't know it or something?
Yep. So that happened and really derailed him. But he looked great in summer league. He's going to be low usage. You know, he'll probably be, I want to say, 12% usage rate. But strong defender, has enough size to guard, maybe even smaller forwards, I think. Ideally, he's going to guard twos and threes. But, yeah, I like him. And obviously, for fantasy, we're rooting for Matisse Thybulle because he is just insane with blocks and steals, especially steals. I think he led the nation in steals last year and was, like, one of the highest ever. So, yeah, he'll be a lot of fun. Keep an eye on Jonah Bolden. Mike Scott's going to try to put more post-ups as well. And Kyle O'Quinn, another guy who we will probably be talking about in DFS at times.
Kyle O'Quinn is like the quintessential when the starter's out, you want to play this guy type guy.
Yep, for sure.
That's just one of those things. That's how that goes. And he is also extremely tilting sometimes too, because sometimes sometimes KOQ's coaches love him and sometimes they hate him. So you kind of never know what you're going to get. Moving on now to the reigning NBA champions, the Toronto Raptors, a win total of 46. I like the over here. I guess I forgot to mention, I would probably take the under on the Sixers just because if it's close, I take the under. But I like the over for the Raptors. This is still a good team. And I think people forget that OG Anunoby, like, hardly played last year. And that's a guy who had a lot of pub and a lot of hype.
Yep, he had a lot of injuries, some personal stuff he had to go through in camp last year, so it really derailed his whole season. And, yeah, 2 years ago, he was like – he and Pascal were almost like 1A, 1B, and that's why they didn't give up him and Pascal in the Kawhi trade. Like, they're, okay, hey, take Jakob Poeltl instead. So, OG's probably one of my favorite sleepers. Just oozing with opportunity, just perfect size. I like to see him be a little better at the line. But, yeah, we saw him play 3 and 4. I just think he has a big opportunity here. They're really working on his ball handling to become maybe the number 2 or 3 option on this team. So, full on board with drafting OG Anunoby in season long. Pascal Siakam is really going to be the whole identity of this team. Talked today from Nick Nurse saying that they may play him at point guard. But we really saw last year, especially in the Warriors series, man, this guy can handle the ball. He is very much grab it and go and can create. We've really seen this at Summer League for 3 or 4 years. So Pascal Siakam's going to have monster stats. They're just saying, like, how much can he take conditioning-wise because he's so good defensively and they're going to heap more onto him on offense. So they're going to give him all he can handle here. So I'm on board. Marc Gasol is going to get load managed. That was announced today from Nick Nurse, or maybe yesterday. But the one thing that gives me pause about – hitting the over on this is, what if they trade Kyle Lowry?
They could sell Gasol, they could sell Ibaka, they could go, like, it could just be a full on fire sale. Yeah, I think if things go south, that is the one thing where you'd say, well, maybe you don't want to go all in on these dudes.
Yeah, I would not be very aggressive. They like Chris Boucher, Canadian big man. They said they'll play him at 3 through 4, and he's pretty much. He was mostly a 5, and then in summer league, they really tried to force feed him as a 4-man, playing in that 10 to 15 section where he's looking around and reading defenses and stuff. They were like really trying to let him grow in that role. Insane shot blocker. So he has some serious potential for DFS when Gasol and or Serge are missing time. But I love Fred VanVleet as well. He's another one of my favorite fantasy targets. He's just – he mentioned last year during the playoffs, he was a little bit injured, which is why he wasn't starting and why he was coming in. He needed to, like, warm up to it. So as good as he was, he actually got a Finals MVP vote, which makes no sense for as good as Kawhi was. But, hey, yeah, I think VanVleet's going to have a huge season. I don't care if he starts. It sounds like it's going to be him or Norman Powell. Also sounds like they're going to probably do it situationally. But either way, I think VanVleet is going to have just big, big opportunity here. This team's so thin, man, that they need some people to play the two and the three. You mentioned OG. Possibly Norman Powell, who, you know, him and Josh Richardson, when they signed their basically same deals, we were like, oh, yeah, who do we want? And obviously Richardson's the guy. So maybe we can get Powell going again.
That would be cool. I'm kind of excited to watch this team because I think they should just play the young guys a lot. And also, all right, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson was kind of a sneaky signing for them. He fits in really well with them. And you know, a campaign I think is a reasonable player. This roster is kind of fun.
Yeah, campaign looked really good in summer league. Obviously, for a guy with as much experience as him, he should look good in summer league. And just a quick aside, campaign having a good summer league really just shows you how lame summer league was. There's so many guys that just sat out. So I'm just really fired up to see the preseason and see how some of these guys who didn't play, like Reddish and Zion only playing for 9 minutes, and Jared Culver didn't play at all. Like, it's just we didn't get to see. I'm Mr. Well, I like to think I'm one of the biggest summer league guys around, and I was
you are definitely Mr. Summer League. Yeah, no doubt about that.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, our final Eastern Conference team. We are just skipping right along. The Washington Wizards, 27.5 wins. This is again another team I'm taking the under. I feel very good about it. This team sucks.
Yes, this is another probably top 10, give me the under one, maybe even top 5. Bradley Beal already admitted there's going to be a lot of patience on this team. They are already banged up. Isaiah Thomas is here. Obviously, John Wall's probably out for the season. Troy Brown, who they're hoping to step forward, he pulled his calf. He's out. Probably not. May not even play in the opening night. CJ Miles is hurt. Jan Mahimi has a sore Achilles. There's just no depth. I mean, you're talking about Admiral Schofield possibly starting for this team. It sounds like it's going to be Davis Bertans, who's the favorite to start at three if both Brown and Miles can't go. But, I mean, Ish Smith is going to have to play a lot of minutes, kind of a preseason alert DFS. You're going to probably want to play some Justin Robinson, undrafted player they signed who they really like. He's going to get mad burn. And low-key, super-duper-duper dark horse bet to start. If you want to get fancy here. So a guy who I'm going to take in my 30 man, hopefully. Keep an eye on him. We'll see what Mo Wagner does. It's maybe a combo 4-man, 5-man.
It seems like they're in a position where they're going to need guys who were like 11th men for other NBA teams to play a lot for them.
Yeah. And they even said the other day, Tommy Shepard said that our rookies, we want to get them 1,500 professional minutes. That works out to about 18 minutes a game over 82. So it sounds like Schofield's going to play. Rui Hachimura is going to play a ton of minutes. A guy who's just big, big opportunity. Not the most talented guy with all his experience at Gonzaga, but look good in summer league, look good for Team Japan. So a guy who I'm targeting in fantasy just because the opportunity's there. And Thomas Bryant, a really reliable guy.
Yeah, Bryant's going to see all the usage.
Huge. Yeah, he's got a huge opportunity to score. Not the best shot blocker, but yeah, he's going to probably shoot upper 50s percentage, maybe even 60, stretch the range out a little bit. And yeah, he shoots the ball extremely well from the free throw line. So that's really good for fantasy. And then Bradley Beal is just going to be a usage machine. And last year, actually, he was more efficient without Wall on the floor. So you don't usually see that. Guys who lose their point guard usually drop off in efficiency, but he was really, it was just a tick better with him. Massive increase in usage. So Beal's going to have monster games. Like, he's going to have probably, I want to say, 10, 40-point games this season. Like, he just has no help around him.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those situations, right? Like, there just is not really much that you – there's just not much you can do about it. That's just
– pretty much just like kind Devin Booker leading up to this year, but he's more durable, way more durable, 82 games. I think he's one of 5 players to play in 82 back-to-back.
Do you think that they're going to play him the same crazy minutes that they did last year?
So, yes and no. I think the most important thing for Beal, if you say you draft him, you want him gunning for all NBA. Like, if he can gun for all NBA to get that contract incentive, the Wizards want to pay him. So, unlike the stupid Hornets who are like, oh, yeah, we didn't think Kemba was going to make all NBA. Whoops, our bad. Like, I think the Wizards know that he's gunning for that, and he wants that extra money. So, he just had, I think, his second son, so he's a family man now. But, yeah, I think that's what you're rooting for, is just Bradley Beal gunning for all NBA. And I thought he should have made it last year. I'm a big fan of, if you play 75 games or 80 games and you're good, that gives you an edge over a guy who's a little bit better and only played like 65 games. But I digress.
All right. Well, there we go, man. That's it. That is the Eastern Conference. We crushed it. I think that was a good time frame. I think people are going to appreciate that.
Yeah, man. That was awesome.
All right. And guys, if you enjoyed this podcast and you want to listen to more, we are going to be coming back at you with the Western Conference, and you can just skip on over to the next podcast and listen to that.